Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
A day born in the fire and smoke of a war to end all wars.
Well, I think of Veterans Day, and I think about all those that served, you know, those that were injured, those that weren't injured, and I think that anyone who served should be honored, because it's the fact that they served, that they chose to serve, no matter what conflict it was, or even if it wasn't a conflict.
U.S. veteran John Lewson served in the Vietnam War, just one of the wars that followed that war to end all wars. Veterans were to be honored for heroism of sacrifice, with gratitude for victory, and for the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of nations, President Woodrow Wilson wrote when he set aside this day of remembrance for World War I.
For me, actually, I had lost a friend in the Iraqi war, so he always comes to my mind. Thank for everybody who had served honorably. It's something that a few of us do, and we make friends that you just would not, think of meeting. Just share this really huge bond.
The bonds of war, the sacrifices of service, Veterans Day 2009 on the eve of another war's escalation on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. It's Wednesday, the 11th day of the 11th month. Good morning on Veterans Day, a decision day for the president on Afghanistan approaches. I'm John Hockenberry.
Good morning, John. Coming up in this hour, four options open to the president right now in terms of his strategy in Afghanistan. Will one of them bring us closer to success in that country? Also, a look at education in Michigan. Severe cuts are increasing the size of classes there. And what's more American than apple pie? Well, you can make pie now with vodka and cheddar cheese. It might put a spin on that dish.
But first, David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning, David.
Good morning, John.
You have a piece all about the options laid out for President Obama in the New York Times this morning. Do you believe, whatever the president decides, that this war in Afghanistan is about to escalate?
It sure looks like the war is going to escalate. The question is, do we escalate with it? And the bigger and really hardest question that they have in the Situation Room today is, if we do commit more troops, does that, in a funny way, make the war more difficult or less difficult to get through?
Is that about having to defend the additional troops or the support that's necessary to maintain this growing sort of involvement in Afghanistan?
You know, John, it's about something a little harder to predict, and that's this. If you send in more troops, does it encourage the Afghan army to fight alongside you? Or does it discourage them because they think you're there to go fight the war?
Well, that's the question.
And that was the ultimate question in Iraq, and it's the ultimate question in Afghanistan.
And they'll be considering it today at the White House. David Sanger, stay with us. We're going to talk about the options for President Obama in Afghanistan. But first, everything else you need to know this morning.
In the headlines, Virginia went ahead with the execution of D.C. sniper John Allen Muhammad last night. Muhammad was responsible for sniper attacks in and around Washington, D.C. 7 years ago, which killed 10 people. Last night, he died by lethal injection. Prison spokesman Larry Traylor said Muhammad had nothing to say in his final moments.
We asked him for a last statement. He did not even look at us or acknowledge us. I did not see his face the entire time, but I did not see any type of real emotion from him at all.
An appeal to spare Muhammad's life failed in the Supreme Court on Monday.
President Obama was at a memorial service at Fort Hood. The United States must never forget the 13 men and women killed in last week's shooting, he said.
In an age of selfishness, they embody responsibility. In an era of division, they call upon us to come together. In a time of cynicism, they remind us of who we are as Americans.
Another reminder, of course, today is Veterans Day, and we're asking all day on The Takeaway, do you think America is doing enough for America's veterans, and what more would you like to see us do? Tell us your stories at 8778-MY-TAKE, or you can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. Can it be the case? Another Veterans Day and another war about to escalate. Certainly the date on the calendar is going to be on the minds of President Obama and his advisors.
And the rest of America.
It's sort of decision day for them. We're not going to learn their decision for a little while, but President Obama is going to meet with his national security team and review four options, apparently, a final set of four options for changing the situation, possibly upping the number of troops in Afghanistan. And David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, started the program with us by suggesting that, you know, one of the things they have to figure out is does more U.S. troops in Afghanistan increase or decrease the likelihood that Afghan forces will step up to the plate? Good morning again, David.
Good morning, John.
Let me begin by playing a clip from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who spoke last night on the Charlie Rose Show. And just listen to this, and then I have a question.
I think that this review, which has been more thorough and more debated than what we're told ever happened previously, you know, gives us a platform on which the president can stand.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talking about this meeting today, four options for all apparently upping the number of troops in Afghanistan. Talk about the nature of this review, though. Is she correct? Is this the most extensive review? And does that reflect the personal style of Barack Obama or the complexity of the situation in Afghanistan?
Well, I think she's partly right and partly wrong. Certainly this review has been detailed. It began in mid to late September. There have been about two Situation Room meetings a week. The president, from all accounts, has asked a number of very deep questions, sent his staff off to answer a lot of questions that many of which are very hard to answer. You know, include things like, you know, if I do nothing, if I leave the troop levels just where they are now, what is the effect? Or what's the use of having a counterinsurgency program if I don't trust that I can ultimately hand it over to an Afghan government that is corrupt and inept? So this has been very deep. On the other hand, you have to remember that the debate that led to the surge in Iraq, which was, in the end, we think, you know, the strategy that sort of worked, or sort of began to get us out there, that was a debate that began, boy, I remember talking to members of the National Security Council about it in September. The president of 2006, the president didn't announce it until January of 2007. Now,
wow, it's about the same.
I think that President Obama has dug deeper and asked more questions, but certainly it hasn't been longer.
Well, let's go over the options, and do they reflect the broad sort of camps of whether Afghanistan is something we should be more involved in or less involved in the bureaucracy and the administration?
Well, John, there were three options that we knew about until recently, and then a fourth that's been added into that, quite frankly, we don't know very much about.
And there's always that fifth option, do nothing, right? That's sort of unstated.
Well, it's possible that the fourth is a do nothing.
Really?
But the three were three options that came out of the McChrystal report. This was the report that General Stanley McChrystal submitted at the end of the summer, in which he recommended an additional 40, 45,000 troops, something like that, on top of the 65,000 American troops that are there now. And, of course, there are another 35 or more 1,000 NATO troops. But what the options that the president's looking at include a 20 to 25,000 option, a 30 to 35,000 option, and the 45,000 option. And what we reported this morning is that while their numbers all differ slightly, you're hearing Secretary Robert Gates, the Defense Secretary, Secretary Clinton, who you just heard from, and Mike Mullen, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, all coming in right around the Goldilocks option of 30 or 35. But then there's a fourth option that's been added recently, and we don't know anything about it or whether there is a troop number related to it. But remember here, the numbers get all the headlines. It's changing the strategy that may determine whether we get anywhere.
I mean, and let's talk about that for a second. It seems like this numbers focus indicates that actually the harder decision is whether to stick with Hamid Karzai or bail on the Afghan government entirely. And that's a decision I don't think it looks like they're going to make here, are they?
Well, they don't have a choice on Karzai now. He was declared the victor of an election he tried to steal. And they've all come out.
Well said.
Right? Yeah. And they've all come out publicly and said he is now the leader of Afghanistan, whether we like it or not, whether we want him or not. So I think the questions get a little more complex. On the Afghan side of the border, they are, do you have any reason to believe that the kind of numbers that we envision for how we train the Afghan army and police can be met? Because remember, this is a force, at least in the Afghan army, that loses 25% of its forces a year. So you're doing a four-year projection. Wow. You need an entirely new army trained up in 4 years. Okay. So that's number one.
That's pretty good. Number one. We only have time for a number two. But
okay.
Go ahead.
Our number two is Pakistan.
Right.
You know, if you are doing a strategy in Afghanistan, but Al-Qaeda, which is the centerpiece of what you're fighting, is in Pakistan, and if, in fact, the leaders of the Taliban who are fighting you in Afghanistan are also in Pakistan, what have you accomplished by adding troops?
Right.
Tiny quick question before we go. Do all these options involve increasing air support? We talk about troops, but are the other things going to be increased as well?
The troops are for counterinsurgency, securing populations. The air support, which is relatively inexpensive and a lot of which is there anyway, is for counterterrorism, and that's for going in and doing these strikes. The problem with the strikes is you end up killing a lot of civilians, and that can undercut your effort.
So they'll probably be going softly on the air support. David Sanger, thanks so much, Chief Washington Correspondent for The New York Times, noting four options for President Barack Obama in Afghanistan on this Veterans Day, contemplating a war's escalation. Our producer, Femi Oke, spoke with some veterans yesterday at the VA hospital in Manhattan.
For those that serve, they make a sacrifice. They put their life on hold for a while. And they serve their country. Do they gain anything from it? Absolutely. What they gain from it is they gain the fact knowing that they did something a lot of other people haven't done. They supported their country, and they've made friendships that they'll have forever. I go to my reunion every year, and in normal life, I probably would have never met these people.
Serving honorably is something that few of us do. We want to hear the stories of your service at 877-8-MY-TAKE or write us at mytake@thetakeaway.org on this Veterans Day. It's 15 minutes after the hour. Let's check in on some of the top stories.
President Obama was among the thousands of people attending a memorial service for the 10 men and 3 women killed at Fort Hood last Thursday.
We are a nation that endures because of the courage of those who defend it. We saw that valor in those who braved bullets here at Fort Hood just as surely as we see it in those who signed up knowing they would serve in harm's way.
Later this morning, the president will participate in a wreath-laying ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknowns at Arlington National Cemetery to commemorate Veterans Day. Also on today's schedule, as we've just been hearing, the president will meet with top advisors to discuss four options for the U.S. strategy in Afghanistan. Reports say they mostly range from sending 20 to 45,000 additional troops.
Meanwhile, in Afghanistan, American forces raided a bomb-making factory in Kandahar, discovering a 500,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate, the fertilizer used in homemade bombs. With a typical bomb weighing about 60 pounds, the seizure potentially removes thousands of the deadly devices from the war zone. Back home, a prison spokesman says D.C. sniper John Allen Muhammad did not apologize or express any remorse in the moments just before he was executed.
He did not say anything. I did not hear him utter a word the entire time that when he entered the chamber.
Muhammad was executed last night by lethal injection in Virginia for his role in 10 fatal shootings in 2002. A newly proposed financial reform bill would strip the Federal Reserve of nearly all of its power to oversee banks. The measure by Senator Christopher Dodd has just been unveiled. We're going to talk about it a little more in the program.
In the first major prosecution arising from the financial meltdown, 2 former Bear Stearns hedge funds managers were found not guilty of fraud. The defendants managed funds crammed with subprime mortgage securities that lost investors more than $1 billion.
That's punishment enough, I guess.
That's right. Coming up, as the health care debate moves to the floor of the Senate, it looks like the Democrats are struggling a little bit. More on that in a few minutes.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.